Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
The following is a KMOX Sports presentation.
Very, very happy. 25 years is a long time, and I was one and done, so to speak, a long time ago. And at that time, pretty much thought my, candidacy was over. Then things changed and then evolved and brought back to life, so to speak, and yesterday finally made that final leap. I can only tell you how exciting that has made me feel.
He's a wonderful person, a wonderful player, and a true champion, so we're very happy to have him in the fold for the next 7 years, and hopefully he has continued success personally and with the team, and we're happy to have him, and hopefully leads us to many more happy moments.
It's very rare that a legacy for a team and a legacy for a player can, in our game, continue as this one has. I think there always has to be that trust factor that exists between an organization and a player.
Welcome to the Mungadas St. Louis Honda Sports Open Line on America's Sports Voice, KMOX.
And from San Diego and Major League Baseball's winter meetings, welcome into Sports Open Line. Chris Raby and Mike Claiborne with you on KMOX as we hang out and wrap up the first day of winter meetings coverage. We will be with you until 8 o'clock tonight. We'll be with you all this week from San Diego and from the meetings, and looking forward to having a lot of great conversations, covering a lot of news, and bringing you along every step of the way. Our winter meetings coverage is sponsored by Goodwill. Donate a car for four free field box tickets. And boy, do we have a show for you tonight. Ted Simmons, just heard from him in the open. He is headed to the National Baseball Hall of Fame. We'll visit with Ted. We'll also hear from Darren Pang in this first hour of the show as we talk a little bit of hockey. 7 o'clock hour, Stephen Piscotty, Oakland A's outfielder, former Cardinal, joins us, as well as John Shambi from ESPN. And we'll sit down with Joe Torre. It's been a busy first day, Mike Claiborne.
It really has. Most of these first days, it's kind of a meet and greet, and that's fine. But I think with the move on Strasburg, the announcement of Ted Simmons going into the Hall of Fame, it's been a little bit more of has a little bit more of a buzz to it. And I think because there are other players that we think may be signed or may see some more movement via the trade route, this could be an interesting winter meeting, unlike some of the ones we've been part of in the last few years.
Yeah, I think that it'll be very interesting to see how the trade market moves, but really how the pitching market moves from a free agent standpoint because of everything that's already happened. And, it's crazy to think about, some of the deals that have already been made. The fact that we saw Steven Strasburg get his 7-year, $245 million deal with the Washington Nationals today. You just heard comments from Scott Boras and Mike Rizzo, courtesy of MLB Network. And, once that money gets handed out, I think Gerrit Cole will get priced and the market will be set for Cole. You would imagine that he gets now 8, 9, 10 years. And if Strasburg
got 200. I just think that's insane.
Well, Strasburg got 7 and 245. Cole's younger and has put up better numbers and has been healthier. And
I think that I don't have a problem paying these guys the money that they ask for. I just think the length just leaves a bad taste in everyone's mouth. And, just like last year when Harper signed for what? How many years? 13 years? 11 years?
Yep.
It's not going to work. The back end of that thing will not work.
I'm not debating that, but I do think that based on what Strasburg got, Cole will
no,
get
I agree
more
with
years
you on
and
that.
More money.
Yeah. No, I don't think there's any doubt that's going to happen. And they're unique. They're young guys in their prime. You mentioned Cole hasn't been hurt as much as Strasburg, so it's a lot. and they've been able to prove that they can get the job done. So good luck to them.
Ted Simmons was introduced downstairs at a press conference, and boy, is he fantastic to talk to listen to. Just such a eloquent, such a just humble guy, and to hear him speak, I thought, you know, so emotionally and so honestly, Klebs, about what this meant to him, what this process was. He says the anxiety and the stress lifted from his shoulders was like Niagara Falls when he got the call yesterday.
Yeah.
You could tell how much it means to Ted and how much it means to so many people close to Ted, similar to what we saw with Lee Smith and Harold Baines last year and Alan Trammell and Jack Morris the year before.
I don't think it sets in until you're well after your career what the Hall of Fame means. And you mentioned Lee Smith, and we've seen some other guys that have gone through it. It's different, man, and I don't think we can really understand it because we haven't walked that path before. But, you know, the way Ted Simmons' situation came down, he was only on the ballot for a short time, 1 year, I believe. Then he misses the other setup by a vote. And then, you know, you turn 70 and you start wondering, is this actually going to happen? And it happened for him. Very thoughtful in his words today, and can't wait to visit with him this evening.
I think that the goal, and the goal is stated and has been stated over and over again, is to, you know, get the guys that slip through the cracks another opportunity and do it via their peers and via guys that played with them and that understand, once they have been in the Hall of Fame, understand what it means and the contributions that these guys made that perhaps were judged or evaluated differently when they were on the ballot.
I agree with you, and I've been a big stickler about voters. You can't look at a stat sheet all the time. You have to know the body of work. And I'm almost inclined to say, hey, if you didn't cover him or if you didn't see him play, I don't think you should be voting for him. And that goes for the writers too. You can look at the stats, but there are some guys who might not transcend stats as we look at them today, but we know they were good players, especially when you have some of those guys who dominated a 5-6 year run of seasons where they were the best player. And we just don't have that many guys that can do that anymore. Now, they may play longer. You know, the guys like Simmons and those guys play long. Chris, I don't see guys playing 18, 20, 22 years anymore. I think the money's too good. They price themselves out of the business. So when you see a Simmons and some of these other guys who spent and paid their dues, I think you have to be able to watch them compared to looking at his numbers, because the numbers at the end aren't always good. So
his numbers are remarkable.
Yeah, he's terrific, man.
Just unbelievable.
And just to watch him hit was fascinating for me. And I didn't miss any of his games. He was a good player, man. I mean, he was a tough out in a team that didn't have a lot of offense some of those years. So,
as I said too, you can tell how much he means to so many people. Seeing Joe Torre in the audience at the press conference, seeing Mike Schilt come in and sit in the audience.
Pete Vukovic was there. I saw him.
Yeah, he talked about just so cool, and feel great for Ted. And you know what? I know in a lot of times when advanced numbers and analytics and the sabermetric approach to things can be criticized. He said it was sabermetrics, and it was kind of a lot of guys that are behind the new way of thinking and analyzing. Maybe ironic, Klebs, those are the guys that breathe new life into his candidacy.
Well, yes and no. I think that they obviously looked at the numbers and realized that all the Hall of Fame catchers.
I think people
were already in the Hall of Fame.
Writers started started really taking up the cause.
You know, and I think that's what happens. And I think if you're a player, if you're fair with the writers, you don't have to be their best friend and vice versa. If you're fair and you make the effort, somebody's going to remember you for that, and they champion his cause. And I think that's why you see other guys who could be in a conversation, like an Albert Bell and some other people who will never make the Hall of Fame because of their relationship with the media. And I put Barry Bonds in that category. As good as Barry Bonds was before he allegedly was using steroids, he just had such a poor relationship, man. He tried to clean it up, and nobody was taking it. Nobody was buying it. Did we have time to talk about Missouri here? Or
that's where I was going to go right now.
Well, Joe Madden's over here. He may come over here and visit with us. This may be the last time we talk to him for a while with him being now with the Angels. But go ahead.
Let's take a quick break. We'll come back. We want to get to some Missouri thoughts. Maybe Joe Madden will pop over. And we're going to visit with Ted Simmons. That's all coming your way. Next hour, Stephen Piscotty, Joe Torre, and more. We are at baseball's winter meetings in San Diego. We're brought to you by Goodwill. Donate a car for 4 free field box tickets. Chris Raby, Mike Claiborne. Don't go anywhere. There's plenty of surprises along the way. And we're back in a moment on KMOX.
Welcome back to the Munganass St. Louis Honda Sports Open Line.
Munganass St. Louis Honda on South Lindbergh.
On America's Sports Voice, KMOX.
Welcome back into Sports Open Line from baseball's winter meetings in San Diego. Chris Raby, Mike Claiborne with you. Going to visit with Ted Simmons, expected to be joined by the Hall of Famer. Coming up here in just a few, plenty more to get to from a baseball standpoint. But let's talk a little hockey, and we slide it over to the first of our two weekly visits with Darren Pang.
It is Monday, and that means it is time to bring the Pang. It's sponsored by T.R. Hughes Homes, St. Charles' premier new home builder. Bringing the Pang with Darren Pang, the Fox Sports Midwest analyst for the St. Louis Blues, who are a little bit of a lull, I guess you should say. I mean, they lost 3-0 against Pittsburgh. That would qualify as a lull. And then they drop one. It just didn't look very good on Saturday against the Toronto Maple Leafs, a 5-2 loss. Panger, how are you, and what's wrong with the Blues?
Yeah, no, I'm doing fantastic. Blues are going to take off. We're going to go to Buffalo this afternoon. We got the Sabres, and you would think last year, the year before, that's going to be an easy game, but that's not anymore because they're a much improved team. And I think what we're seeing right now are a little of the dog days of the Blues right now. The injuries catching up with them certainly is it was inevitable. But I think more than anything else, I just think there's a little bit of sloppiness or fatigue, not executing as well as they execute. And that's why you saw that loss in Pittsburgh, where the Penguins played hard and certainly deserved to win that hockey game. And then the Toronto Maple Leafs were interesting because I wasn't sure what we were going to get. You know, they're in flux as well after a coaching change, but they've got some dynamic forwards. And we saw a team that, in Toronto that can really play and really make plays. So all in all, I think that was a little bit of a humbling night for the Blues. And now they just have to regroup a little bit here. It'll be a day off today on their travel day. Maybe that not going to the rink in the morning can help them out there for tomorrow.
Jake Allen came in and finished what Jordan Binnington couldn't, although they still lost the game. But I'll tell you, I mean, and I'm not putting the blame on anybody here, but Binnington gave up 4 goals early. Allen came in and finished the game. I'm just saying it's nice to have a Jake Allen right now. I just think that he's been pretty solid for this team this year.
Yeah, no, I do agree with you. And I think he gets enough credit. I know that, but there's still some people out there that I'm sure just, you know, think of him as what he is, which at this point it's a backup goaltender to Jordan Binnington, but he's been valuable. You know, he got the shutout in Chicago. He made 38 saves. He's a real good competitor. There's going to be times where Jordan Binnington, as inexperienced as he is there's going to be moments where it's not going to go his way. And, you know, and I think Saturday night was a good example of that. Craig Berube's not a coach that makes changes. He's not apt to change during the course of a game. He might tweak a line, one player on one line, and it's got to be in a moment where he finally says uncle. But in this particular game, you know, he hasn't pulled Jordan Binnington in regular season games. So he had to, finally, after 4, he had to make that change. And I think Jordan Binnington would be the first to admit that he wasn't sharp. You think about Pittsburgh, he gave up a goal 35 seconds in. He gave up a couple that went through him. In the game against Toronto, a couple of pucks, you know, looked like he had them. And they bounced off his pants and went in. They bounced off his arm and went in. That's just a bit of a timing mechanism and trying to find the puck. But again, going back to Toronto, I mean, Austin Matthews and John Tavares, Nylander, Mitchell Marner, these guys can make plays in quick areas. And I talked to Jordan about it yesterday, and he said it was hard to find the puck off their sticks with how quick their hands are. So just another learning curve for him, for sure.
December 9th, 2018, he was called up by the Blues and eventually became their starting goaltender. His name is Jordan Binnington. It was 1 year ago today that the Blues made a move that changed the course of history. I mean, what a goaltender he's been, though, really, to go back to him.
Remarkable. Absolutely remarkable. A young man with a chip on his shoulder, you know, a goaltender that thought he should have been respected more than what he was respected, even going back to training camp, passed over by, it seemed like, every other possible prospect. And last year it was Billy Huso. Comes to training camp, has another great training camp, doesn't get the respect, gets sent down again. Goes down to, you know, San Antonio, still doesn't play early on. They play Billy Huso the whole way until finally they figure out, we got to make a change in goal. And then he goes on a run there in San Antonio. And then the Blues finally make that courageous move, which it was at the time. And they move their backup goaltender to the Anaheim Ducks, and they say, let's give one of our young guys a chance. And you're right, history was made. And for Jordan Binnington to do what he did will forever go in the record books, and it'll forever be one of the greatest stories in the history of the game.
I'll give you another one. The Buffalo Sabres, we have them to thank forever. I mean, what an unbelievable – that's going to go down as one of the great trades in St. Louis sports history, getting Ryan O'Reilly.
And I remember when the Buffalo Riders came into St. Louis earlier in 2018. It was probably December, late November, December. And these writers, they couldn't wait to get a hold of it. It seemed like Ryan O'Reilly, and talk about how he was in another losing environment. And I watched Ryan O'Reilly answer question after question. And they were softballing him questions, but I knew what those writers were going after. And I was just thinking to myself, man, Ryan O'Reilly, like, you guys can do this. You know, that's what you're thinking. You guys can change this up. Because, you know, he went to, you know the story, Colorado, and then Buffalo, and then he starts off with the Blues, and it's not going very well. But at the end, I mean, the St. Louis Blues got the best player by far, no matter what that draft pick was going to be. And, you know it was just a matter of time before Ryan O'Reilly and the Blues turned things around.
And the story, as we say, took an amazing turn. And then, of course, Craig Berube becomes the coach, and the Blues go on to win the Stanley Cup. What a scene that was. We had a great one at the Jack Buck Awards on Thursday night, Panger, and I know Fox Sports Midwest is KMOX Carrot Live. Fox Sports Midwest is going to turn that into a one-hour special that it will air throughout this month. But Craig Berube, introduced by Doug Armstrong as the Sports Personality of the Year, I sat next to him, and I watched him watch the opening video as they went through the great history of that award. He said that once he watched that, it really started to soak in that he's now among these legendary names like Bob Gibson and Brett Hull and all the greats who have won here in St. Louis. Craig Berube is now the 50th Sports Personality of the Year at the MAC. It was pretty cool.
Well, I think the MAC made a great selection. And it's funny because sports personality, you think somebody that's, you know, that talks a lot, that's always out there, telling, you know, great stories, but really sports personality is what have you done? Something that really made a difference. And because we all know that Craig Berube doesn't have this outgoing personality, but man, does he have some inner fire to him and the love for competition and the love for sports. I think that's what probably caught his eye, Tom, is that he's a big fan of sports. And even growing up in small Kalahoo, Alberta, you know, it's got about 42 people there in an ice cream stand. He's still, you know, he knows sports and he knows what's going on out there. So I thought that was very good between he and Bobby Plager receiving their awards. Was great representation of the St. Louis Blues.
I really enjoyed having dinner with him. It was great. And then Bob Plager received the Legends Award, a 22-minute speech from Bobby that was epic. And again, Fox Sports Midwest and KMOX will be replaying that throughout the month as John Kelly, your partner on the telecast, introed Mr. Plager. Well, you guys will be in Buffalo. You're going to have some fun, I'm sure, as you get ready to take on the Sabres. We'll be watching. Let's see if the Blues can break out of this funk.
Tom, I'm sure they will. Thanks for having me, and have a great week.
Always good to talk to you. Darren Pang with us on KMOX.
Welcome back to the Munganass St. Louis Honda Sports Open Line. Munganass pre-owned on South Limburg on America's Sports Voice, KMOX.
Welcome back. Winter meetings coverage. Chris Rabie and Mike Claiborne with you in San Diego. We are brought to you by Goodwill. Donate a car for free. Fieldbox tickets. We thank Darren Pang for joining us to talk a little bit of hockey, bringing the Pang twice a week here on KMOX. Hoping to be joined here in a couple of minutes by Ted Simmons after he does some television on MLB Network, a fantastic emotional press conference a little bit earlier today that we talked about, Claibs. But want to switch gears for just a minute or two because the other big news and news that people from St. Louis, especially here in San Diego, are talking about is the new Mizzou hire, as they have a new head football coach. Barry Odom, of course, was relieved of his duties a couple of weeks ago. And an interesting coaching search, I guess, to say the least, which led them to Eliah Drinkwitz as their new coach, 12-1 with Appalachian State this year, a Sun Belt Conference championship in his first year coaching, 36 years young. Your initial thoughts on first just the search and what's transpired over the last week plus since Odom was fired?
Well, I thought the search and how it was conducted was abominable. The curators are now telling the athletic director they want somebody with a little bit more sizzle. Well, I don't think anybody – did the curators know who Drinkwitz is? Did they know anything about him? And I don't know if he can coach or not. I hope he can. I think we all who live in the state of Missouri would like to see the program better, but let's face it, this is not probably the best route to go. I think it's also indicative of how – Missouri is perceived by other coaches around the country. A lot of coaches walked away and didn't have an interest in going to Missouri. And it comes down to a gentleman who's coached 1 year as a head coach. He won with somebody else's players. Good offenses in North Carolina State. I don't want to take that away from him. I think that's a good indicator. But I just think there's a lot of boxes that went unchecked here with respect to him being the future. Now, we all look for that young phenom coach who gets his start, and I think we all hope that we can find another Gary Pinkel. But, Chris, I don't think it's that easy. I think the game has changed dramatically because you're in the SEC, all right, where they take no prisoners. And in this situation, he's going to have to hit the ground running with respect to getting players, and – I don't think Missouri is in a position to wait 3 years to be better with an unproven coach. And I think the way they handled it was unfortunate, because I think that there's a better way to do it. I didn't have a problem with the search firm, okay? I think that any athletic director who really has to do his work on this isn't in a position to gather that much information to make a hire. So you definitely reach out. And let's face it, most large firms have search firms to find people for certain positions. Didn't have a problem with that. But I did have a problem with the fact that the curators allegedly said that the names that Jim Sterk submitted were not anything that was appealing to him.
Yeah.
And I guess
can't have it both ways.
Yeah, I guess my question to the curators, when's the last time you did anything with regard to football? And do you know what coaches are out there, and do you think that your knowledge of good coaches is better than the guy you hired to make the hire?
Yeah, I understand that you want some sizzle, but it's hard to have sizzle when you're already a bit cash-strapped from an athletic department standpoint.
They got hit. You lost $9 million this year thanks to the probation.
Well, and also thanks to
nobody goes to the
attendance
games.
To now buying out Barry Odom and his staff, and if you want to make a big-time hire, you got to offer big-time money. That's what Ole Miss did with Lane Kiffin, despite the fact that they've dealt with probation as well over the last couple of years. I think it's pretty easy parallel. Matt Luke, a guy who was on that staff and who got his first head coaching opportunity to Barry Odom. But, you know, you can't have it both ways. And I guess if you're looking at a glass half full, I don't think you wanted anyone with connections to Mizzou. Because I believe that that's been a disaster now with Odom and Kim Anderson.
There's no doubt about it.
And in some respects, a bit unfair for those guys as their demises played out. And I also think, you know, offensively, you've got to be better. And that's the one thing that is the real feather in this guy's cap. He has some veteran coaches on his staff right now. He's got, you know, Ted Roof, who was the head coach at Duke. He's been a coordinator, defensive coordinator of big-time programs. Unclear if he'll come with him. Lincoln Riley's younger brother is on his staff as well. But, you know, this ultimately is going to come down to Jim Sterk. And we know that Odom wasn't Jim Sterk's guy. He was hired by, name already escapes me. Yeah,
Mac.
Who left to go to Baylor. This is Jim Sterk's guy. And this could very
well be Jim Sterk's guy.
Well, he is now, for better or for worse.
I mean, they told him to hire him.
He'll be tied to Jim Sterk now moving forward.
You know, the other thing, I don't want to go back to something you touched on regarding the offense. I told you 2 years ago or last year that I didn't think Derek Dooley was the guy, or 2 years ago. And because he never called a play in his life at any level. And then you're going to turn over the keys to this guy. Now, the previous year, everybody thought he was hot stuff because he was coaching Josh Heupel's players from Oklahoma, who was the offensive coordinator, and I thought he did a nice job. And Drew Locke was in a better situation in his second year. He should have been in his first year of full-time playing. So it was all set up for him. So now you don't have Locke. You get in a guy in Kelly Bryant who was a really good player, but your offense stunk. He couldn't get it done. And he was one of the things that brought this program down. You were paying, what, $900,000. So there were a lot of mistakes that were made along the way. But I just think that there's a better way to hire football coaches, and Missouri didn't find that page to do it with.
The leaks, too, are concerning, the leaks of some of the names last week.
Yeah.
Because even if the board of curators wasn't thrilled with that, if you're one of those guys, you're saying, how in the hell did this get out? If you're Jim Stirk, you're saying, how in the hell did this get out? And that's making Jim Stirk's job even harder, because then you kind of know an agent that you're going to negotiate with know from a leverage standpoint where you're at and what your candidate pool is.
I thought it was mishandled. And, I think I speak for a lot of Missouri fans. I'm frustrated, but I hope that they can turn it around. I just haven't seen anything in the last few hires that gives me any hope that this thing's going to turn around.
We got to start a search firm.
It's not a bad idea.
It'd be a nice way to.
And you know what they do? Search firms are here to stay, by the way, because they gather the information, they make the recommendations of coaches that fit your need, and they have the time to do it. What person in Jim Stirk's office has the time to do that kind of research on multiple coaches other than him picking up the phone and saying, hey, do you know anybody? Who is he going to call? Another AD? Or is he going to call a search firm?
Yeah.
I mean, hiring coaches is much more complicated now than what it used to be. And we, being in Missouri, kind of think that, well, you know, you're the athletic director, you should be able to hire him. But it's not that easy. It's just not that easy. And again, I don't think Drinkwitz's credentials measure up to what the SEC is all about. I mean, think about when you look at the SEC coaches, most of those guys come with some stronger credentials than what this gentleman's coming in with. Whether they were at a better program or maybe they had more experience, he's coached 1 year. He's been a head coach this year. And you're going to turn the keys over to him. And again, maybe he's got rabbits in his hat we don't know about. I hope he does. But on the surface, this doesn't look like a good situation. And if I'm wrong, more than happy to acknowledge it.
I just hope that he figures out a way, they figure out a way. You got to figure out a way to get people into the stands.
And well, offense will do that.
Well, yeah, and I understand that the way to do that, our buddy Mike Kelly always says three-letter word, W-I-N, but they're running out of time, Klaibs.
Yeah.
And this is a window and an opportunity with the South End Zone project, with, I think, a lot of the improvements that's been made to the facility. With, heck, I know people kind of roll their eyes at this. The fact you can sell booze in the stadium now, if
you're right,
you're short 15,000 people, it's a lot of money you're leaving on the table.
A lot of beer money.
A lot of money. You need to get people. Basketball is an embarrassment right now in terms of attendance. I'm not going to scold anyone, because I won't claim that I was in the stands for every Mizzou basketball game as an undergrad. In fact, I rarely was. But you got to figure out a way to get people to the games.
Well, I have a whole lot of ideas about Missouri and its image basketball-wise, and I don't think we have that kind of time. But my issue and concern is getting players. You can't have the Shake Shack All-Americans, okay? You got to have some kids that can act. Well, Shake Shack would be a pretty good football player. But my point being, you got to have some legitimate credentialed players. Guys, I got news for you. Tennessee's passed Missouri, okay? Kentucky has passed Missouri. And those are two teams that Missouri used to trounce. Vanderbilt's in a little bit of a tough spot, but they're Vanderbilt. They're not supposed to be that dominant of a program. But Missouri loses to them. So the teams in your division that you're struggling with are all getting better. Tennessee's landing some good players on an almost daily basis. South Carolina's trying to turn a corner. So I just don't see where Missouri's landing spot is in the foreseeable future unless the new coach can get better players to come in. They don't have any speed on the outside. They don't have any legitimate running game. The tight end, who everybody thought was all this, couldn't catch a cold, let alone a pass. So you got some issues where maybe you've been sold a bill of goods with respect to how good you actually are. You know, the offensive line, which I was excited about. I mean, they had size, they had experience. They messed that up. They couldn't do anything. So it was just a debacle. And again, this is the SEC where you just don't get that many do-overs, because if you miss once, man, or twice, you're at the bottom and there's no chance for you to recover. Unless you go through another two or three coaches like Tennessee did.
All right, that's Mike Claiborne, Chris Ravey with you as well. Ted Simmons is doing some TV right now, some obligations after he was introduced as the newest elected member of the National Baseball Hall of Fame. So we'll visit with Ted tomorrow. We've got a little more time because I want to make sure that we really are able to get into our chat with him. Coming up next hour, Stephen Piscotty, who's here on site, also Joe Torre, but was really, really impressed with the eloquence and the way that Ted spoke today, as we are going to head downstairs in just a second and hear from him in his press conference. And again, the folks in the room, in the audience, you know, his peers, members of the Veterans Committee, Joe Torre, Mike Shildt, I think it'll become evident as we talk about Ted over the next couple of days and really leading up to the ceremony in July, how much he meant to so many people. So again, Joe will visit with us next hour. We'll have some stuff coming up from John Mozeliak, Mike Gersh, as well as they debrief following the first day of the winter meetings. But let's head downstairs right now. Ted Simmons, newest Hall of Famer at the podium.
Actually, very, very exciting to get that telephone call from Jane. Very, very happy. 25 years is a long time. And I mean, you know, it was one and done, so to speak, a long time ago. And that time, pretty much thought my, you know, candidacy was over. Then things changed and then evolved and brought back to life, so to speak. And then yesterday, finally, made that final leap. I can only tell you how exciting that has made me feel. And everything that's gone in the past is all part of it. It's all a good part of it. It was supposed to happen just like this. And it happened just like this, and I couldn't be happier and wouldn't change. I wouldn't change anything. Not one thing.
And on the right-hand side?
Ted, where were you when you found out, and what was your mood like in the last couple of days when you knew that they were meeting and voting, and what was going through your mind Sunday and Monday?
Well, I found out yesterday at 6:30 Central Time. In St. Louis, I was waiting that out with my wife, just waiting it out. And I can only explain to you that the anxiety, you know, begins about a month ago, and then it just starts building. And before long, it's preoccupied every thought you've got, and you just keep building. And then finally, it all just kind of releases itself when the phone call finally comes and say welcome as the newest and latest member of, you know, Cooperstown's Hall of Fame. It's like all the anxiety just, it's like Niagara Falls, just relief.
Again, in the second row.
Hey, Ted, congratulations. Hey, what do you remember about the big blockbuster trade when you and Buki and Raleigh came to Milwaukee? It was transformational for that franchise and quite a career arc for all of you guys, too.
Well, it was a wonderful moment. I remember I was a 10-of-5 player at that time, so I had control. I'd been in St. Louis and had a wonderful career over there, and things changed, and circumstances evolved in a way that put me in a place to come to Milwaukee. And I can remember when it all happened, you know, talking to Whitey Herzog, who had orchestrated this whole thing, and saying, you know, okay, who's in the deal? What is the deal? And he said, well, he named a number of players coming to St. Louis from Milwaukee, Cisco, Lozano, and a few others. And I said, well, who's going to Milwaukee? And Whitey said, well, Fingers is going, and you're going, and Vukovich is going. And I said, now let me get this straight. I said, those two guys, Fingers and Vukovich, are coming with me to Milwaukee. And he said, yep, that's it. I said, that's the truth, right? He said, yeah, that's the truth. I said, let me talk to Mr. Selig, and we'll get this done. Talked to Bud not long after that, and he assured me that Vukovich and Fingers were coming. And I said, okay, we got a deal. And I said, let's go. And it changed all our careers. It changed everyone. Mine, Vuk became, you know, Cy Young Award winner. We went to the seventh game of the World Series, and Raleigh, you know, became what he became and was. So it changed everything in Milwaukee, and it was a wonderful, wonderful period.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.